He came unto his own town, Nazareth, and he was amazed at their lack of faith. And gathered there were his brothers and sisters, Jude and Simon, James and Joseph. They were actually his cousins. In Hebrew language, Aramaic or Hebrew, the word for cousin, brother and sister is the same word. In the Old Testament, we're told that the son of Abraham was Lot. Lot was actually his nephew. But once again, the issue of if you're a cousin, a nephew, a niece, it's the same thing as being a brother and a sister. It's the enlarged family, the big family mentality, which is now in our present Mass. During the Mass, we call each other brother and sister, and yet not one of you is my relative. But being baptized into one family, God's family, through baptism, we all have one Father in heaven and one Mother, Mother Church on earth. And that's why, spiritually speaking, we can call each other brother and sister. Their lack of faith existed because they were unwilling to be taught. A teacher is called a prophet in biblical terms. In the Old Testament, there were 16 prophets, four major ones, and we're hearing from Ezekiel this weekend, who was called by God to go and teach and preach, as was St. Paul. As Ezekiel called God's people from a way of sin to seek salvation, Paul, who was once called Saul, was sent to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, in order that they might pursue the way of salvation. And he was a great preacher, an extraordinarily gifted man, so God had to make him humble. We hear all about, in the book written to the church of Corinth, about a thorn in his flesh, an angel of Satan to beat him and to stop him from getting too proud. And three times he begged God to take this thorn out of his flesh. And God said no, because if I take it out, you might think the power you have is yours. This is to keep you humble and so that you will rely on me, that you will trust in my grace in your life. For I pick up the weak and through my power I make them strong. For Christ's sake. That's where that saying comes from. For Christ's sake, by God's power, all things are possible. So Paul had this infliction. What was it? We don't know. St. John Chrysostom said it was persecutions, hatred of others. St. Gregory the Great said, no, it was basically inner temptations, struggles he himself had. I like St. Augustine's take. He said, no, St. Paul had a bodily ailment, an infliction in his physical flesh that made him humble, embarrassed him at times. Perhaps it was a stutter. He couldn't get the words out at times. Or perhaps he had epileptic fits. He'd be preaching at one moment, all of a sudden start falling on the ground in a convulsion. We don't know what it was, but we do know it was necessary so that people knew that what he said came from God. And that's what a true prophet is. A prophet is someone who teaches on behalf of God, in the name of God, and by the power of God. And Jesus was an unwelcome prophet in his own town. They refused to accept the message because they didn't like the messenger, or they thought they knew all about the messenger, Christ himself, when they didn't. And here we must fix ourselves clearly upon the difference between knowing and believing. Faith, hope and charity are the three big theological or God-centered virtues infused into the soul of baptism. But don't ever confuse faith with knowledge. To have faith, we must believe. To believe, you must trust. You trust in the authority of another person. You see, Satan does not have any faith. He does not believe or trust in God. Yet Satan knows every word of the Bible. So knowing is one thing, believing is another. To make sense of that, pretend you're in a strange town, say a city somewhere, perhaps Perth or Adelaide, and you're looking for a street off the main CBD, Mackenzie Street we'll call it, and you're walking around, you don't know where it is, you need help. You see a policeman or a policewoman coming towards you. You don't know who they are, but you can see their office, their position. It's one of authority. They will know. You go up to the policeman and say, where is Mackenzie Street? Is it right? Two blocks down on your right, then your first turn on your left is Mackenzie Street. You say, thank you, officer, and away you go. You don't know where you're going. You don't know. Let's say you don't have a GPS, you don't have your phone, you don't have a map, you don't have a directory. You don't know, really, with each step, where you are actually going. You believe and you trust in the authority of the person who has told you, because they were dressed like a policeman, they looked like a policeman, and they gave you the instructions, two blocks down, turn left, and first street on your right. But you don't actually know, do you? And each step you take, you're going in faith, trusting in the authority of another person. And if that person was speaking with authority, then you shall arrive. Well, in the same way, at baptism we begin a journey in faith. We believe, not because we actually know 2 plus 2 equals 4, we believe that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. We believe we have a guardian angel. We believe in the 12 articles of the Creed, the 10 commandments, the 7 sacraments, and the Lord's Prayer, the prayer God gave us. We believe all these things. Why? Because we've been taught them, and we've been taught by authority, Christ himself, who continues to teach us today through the Pope and the Apostles, who are the present-day bishops. So it's by faith we travel, not by knowing. And it's the trust we have in the one who has authority that makes this journey so beautiful and pleasant. Furthermore, add to this dimension that believing is stronger than knowing, by adding this thought, one thought, would you give up your life for something that you know? I don't think so. No one dies for geometry or algebra or grammar or historical facts, but they will die for a person. They will die for something they believe in, because believing is resting on the authority of another, and in this case it's Christ. And you will die for Christ, because Christ is a person, the person that is the centre of our lives. And that's why there are martyrs in the church, people who have given their life, not for knowledge of the faith, but for their faith itself, and the one who gave them that faith, the one whom they trust, the one whose hand is in their hand, leading them home to heaven. So today we pray that we might have a strong faith, and that the teacher, the prophet, who is guiding us, the Pope and bishops today, may be always faithful to their task, and that they might also be like Paul, humble, knowing that they preach not for their sake, but for Christ's sake. And it's their power, rather God's power, through them that makes them who they are. And if we are called to witness to the faith we have, the beliefs we possess, let us do so willingly. Tomorrow we honour St. Maria Goretti, an extraordinary saint who died in 1902, who gave her life for chastity. Rather than be seduced, she witnessed in her blood for the truths of the faith. As she gave her life for chastity back then, and was canonised in 1950, who knows, one day we might be called to witness to the truth of marriage, and in doing so, be faithful to Christ. Know what we believe, and then practice what we preach. In doing so, we too shall be faithful to the end. Why? As St. Paul was, for Christ's sake. Praise be Jesus Christ.